Locked On Broncos, your daily podcast on the Denver Broncos, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of Locked On Broncos, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network. This is your host, Cody Rourke, and tonight we're going to break down the matchup between the Dallas Cowboys and the Denver Broncos this weekend. 2:25 p.m. kickoff on Fox. Joe Buck, Troy Aikman on the call, great commentary crew, and it's a primetime afternoon game, and I'm very excited about it, and you should be too, and here's why. Both of these teams are kind of underrated. They're always kind of competitive every year, but you know what? The media obviously more so talks about the Dallas Cowboys than they do the Denver Broncos, unfortunately. But both of these teams, despite the Cowboys going to the playoffs for the first time in a few years last year, these two teams have always competed. And the last time these two played, Peyton Manning and Tony Romo had a shootout where the Denver Broncos won 51-48 in a game where no defense was played and it was scoring left and right. Touchdowns, rushing touchdowns, passing touchdowns. It was unbelievably crazy. But both teams now are very different in terms of the face of the franchise. And when we look at it, the Dallas Cowboys have Dak Prescott, a guy who surprised everybody. When Tony Romo got hurt last year, Dak Prescott came in and he lit things up. And all of a sudden, you got the Denver Broncos who Peyton Manning retires last year. No, after, before last year, season began. And then you have a question mark. Who's the quarterback? Obviously, Trevor Siemian, 7th-round pick out of Northwestern. Comes out and obviously steals the spot from a 1st-round draft pick in Paxton Lynch. Two different faces of the franchise. Obviously, two different identities on the team. One team you look at with the Dallas Cowboys, and you look at an offensive juggernaut. You look at the Denver Broncos as a defensive juggernaut. And I think this matchup plays out to be very exciting. And I'm going to tell you why here in a minute. First, we're going to analyze starting lineups of the two teams. First off, we look at the Dallas Cowboys starting offense. And obviously, at receiver, you have some pretty speedy and dangerous weapons that Dak Prescott has to throw to. And we start off with, obviously, Dez Bryant as the number one wide receiver for the Dallas Cowboys. Now, if I had to hazard a guess, I would say that Chris Harris Jr. will probably be covering Cole Beasley or Terrence Williams, and we'll see Aqib Talib matched up on Dez Bryant. Now, the interesting matchup is going to be obviously a tight end and obviously safety with either Darian Stewart lining up over Jason Witten or Justin Simmons lining up over him. He's a wily veteran. They have a young guy also in James Hanna, who's another guy. Now, an underrated guy that I was looking at when analyzing before the draft happened last year that I thought was going to be an absolute weapon for any NFL team outside of Cooper Kupp was a guy out of the University of Northern Carolina, and that is Ryan Switzer, who's a speedy guy. He's their punt returner and kick returner. He's a speedy threat, and he has the ability to make big plays, obviously in the special teams game, and he can come in. He's the backup to Cole Beasley, and he's going to be a guy that, he's going to be my guy to watch as being a potential wild card factor. Now let's get to looking at the offensive line. We look at the Dallas Cowboys line as one of the biggest offensive lines in the NFL. We look at left tackle with Tyron Smith, left guard over at Jonathan Cooper, and obviously Travis Frederick at the center position with Zach Martin, a wily veteran in the NFL, at right guard, and Leo Collins at right tackle. Right there, they have a lot of size. They have a lot of experience, a lot of discipline there, and they've been one of the most consistent and dominant offensive lines. Obviously, going back, they had Ronald Leary last year. When you look at it, he's now with the Denver Broncos, signed in the offseason. They swayed him away from Dallas, so that might be a little something. They might have some inside scoop. Ronald Leary could give Joe Woods and the Denver Broncos defense some tips on what to expect, obviously, out of that. I'd really like to see this game, if it was on CBS, I'd really like to see Tony Romo calling this game. I thought he did a very good job in his broadcasting debut. But obviously, I already mentioned it. Jason Witten, a tight end. And obviously, you got Dak Prescott, the face of the franchise now for the Dallas Cowboys. And, running back Ezekiel Elliott. Now, the question with Ezekiel Elliott, I don't know if he's going to be out this week against the Denver Broncos. They're still waiting for the injunction. Obviously, the appeal that the NFL is attempting to file in regards to them lifting Ezekiel Elliott's suspension pending trial in due process. So, I imagine we're going to see Ezekiel Elliott. If not, we will see Darren McFadden. Obviously, I think we'll see a little bit of both of Darren McFadden and Alfred Morris as well, regardless if we see Ezekiel Elliott. But the Denver Broncos defense has to do a better job at getting pressure to the quarterback, and they're going up against a very good offensive line. Now, last week, Shaq Barrett, Von Miller, they were good at getting pressure on Phillip Rivers. However, when you look at how the game was broken down, there was not enough sacks. The Denver Broncos registered one sack against the Chargers, and that was Shaq Barrett on Phillip Rivers in the third quarter. You got to get more pressure. Obviously, the pressure was there against the Chargers, but you got to translate that into sacks. Anytime you as a pass rusher can get to the quarterback and even just make contact, you can change the outlook of a game completely. And we've seen Von Miller do it before. Von Miller has a tendency of showing up in big games, and this is, if I had to hazard a guess, probably one of the biggest games early on here in the regular season for the Denver Broncos. And it's not even a divisional, not even a conference game. It's a non-conference game. And this is something we could potentially be seeing maybe a Super Bowl 52 potential matchup here. I'm not going to predict things yet, but that's, you know, optimistic thinking. Now we got to go to the defensive side of the ball, where I do think that the Cowboys have some weapons, and, you know, they've struggled consistently, you know, with defense, but over the years. But now the Dallas Cowboys defense looks pretty good, and I know this is just after 1 week, and we're talking about a defense that has historically struggled over the last couple of seasons. And, you know, a lot of it isn't necessarily due to a lack of players. In my opinion, I thought a lot of it had to do with, you know, obviously lack of coaching. But Rod Marinelli has done a better job of getting these guys ready and prepared to be more competitive. And I think it's only going to get better when they get some of these guys on the defense. And I'm going to cover the defensive starting lineup for the Dallas Cowboys. And obviously, you got at the defensive end position, DeMarcus Lawrence, who is dominant. He's a strong, physical freak of nature, especially off the edge. And you got Malik Collins, you got Stephen Paye at tackle as well, and then you have Tyrone Crawford opposite of him at DN, and obviously Taco Carlton over there as well, backing him up. But you also, at the inside backer, you have Damian Wilson, Anthony Hitchens at middle linebacker, and you have Sean Lee playing Will, which is, they're kind of playing him as an outside backer, and he's pretty good in coverage, especially in the hook to curl zones. You got Nolan Carroll, Byron Jones at safety, Jeff Heath at strong safety, and obviously Orlando Scandrick. And a guy out of Colorado, Chidobe Awuzie, is a guy to watch. He's a very talented young player, and they had a little bit of a no-fly zone at the University of Colorado last year. He was one of their most dominant players on the defense that they had last year. That was pretty special. But the Denver Broncos are going to have their hands full, obviously, with Sean Lee. You know that he's a really good cover linebacker, as well as he can get to the quarterback, and he's great in the run. So the Denver Broncos tackles this week, you know, Garrett Bowles or Menelik Watson. Specifically, Menelik Watson needs to have a better game this week. He needs to respond. And currently, the Denver Broncos O-line has to have a better showing, and I think that they may. Now, we can look at how they played against the Los Angeles Chargers, and ideally they played well, but they did give up too much pressure on Trevor Siemian, and they got him sacked more times than, you know, than he needed to be. A lot of that was attributed to broken pass protection. You know, there were several plays where maybe Trevor Siemian could have got rid of the ball quicker, but a lot of it was quick pressure right away. Obviously, stunts and blitzes from Mike and Will backers. They did a lot of twists. They did tackle end. They did endo blitzes, as well as smoke blitzes as well. And that was a big issue for the Denver Broncos offensive line to pick up last week. So the Denver Broncos, if they want to have any success against the Dallas Cowboys this week, they have to come out and solidify the run early on. And don't force Trevor Siemian to have to pass the ball quite a bit. You know, let him open it up. But if you're running the ball really well, you have an opportunity to just keep pounding the rock. And that's the most important thing that the Denver Broncos have to do in this game, is pound the rock. CJ Anderson had 80 yards last week. He needs to have 100 this week. And Jamal Charles needs to have about 75 yards rushing this week against this defense. Now, I do think that the Denver Broncos wide receivers match up a little well against these corners. However, you know, Nolan Carroll is a very, very underrated corner, and he's one of their bright spots, in my opinion, at the defensive back position for them. Obviously, you have a guy in Byron Jones playing free safety, and you have Orlando Scandrick, who, in my opinion, he's okay. He's a little overrated, in my opinion. That's just me, based on watching him as a DB coach and as a DB himself and a DB guru that I've done and studied over the years. I've watched him. He's okay. He's not the guy. He's not this guy that they told him. You know, he said they need to pay him a lot of money. That's definitely not the guy. But more importantly, I think the Denver Broncos have done they did a great job on Monday night, you know, on converting against third downs situations, and obviously moving the chains and keeping the ball out of Phillip Rivers' hands. But they got to avoid three and outs, and obviously I think the brunt of the job this week is to stop the Dallas Cowboys' potent offense. And obviously they won 19-3 over the New York Giants on Sunday Night Football this past week. I don't know necessarily how good the Giants are this year. That's the hard thing about.
Hi, this is Maury Moreland Morrison here to tell you Geico has more than just great savings. Much more. Yes, while Geico could help you rack up more moolah faster than you can say metamorphosis, they've also been the fastest growing auto insurer for more than 10 years. That's more like it. Furthermore, GEICO has fast and friendly claim service. That might seem like an oxymoron, but it's not. All the more reason to say no other auto insurer has more than GEICO. GEICO, expect great savings and a whole lot more.
Analyzing a week one matchup or heading into week two and seeing who they played the week before and what's going on. They didn't have Odell Beckham Jr. They didn't really have a lot of weapons outside of Brandon Marshall. So I think that the Denver Broncos, you know, in their passing game against the, you know, Dallas Cowboys defense have to utilize obviously the tight ends more. And that's something that we haven't seen in a long time. We saw it on Monday Night Football. Trevor Siemian connecting with Virgil Green, Jeff Heuerman, AJ Derby. They got the tight ends involved a lot more, and it was on spectacular plays. Obviously, Virgil Green, 44-yard reception. Trevor Siemian threw a tight window. Now, those inside linebackers are going to key those hook-to-curl zones a little bit more than they did last week. And Sean Lee, when I watched Sean Lee last week against the New York Giants, his pass drops are absolutely crisp and clean, and he plays his zone really well. And he's got very quick lateral movement, which I think he's going to be a guy that the Denver Broncos need to avoid, you know, throwing towards, or you can't allow him to make the big plays, in my opinion, on that defense. I think he's their best defensive player, in my honest opinion. And then obviously you got to contain DeMarcus Lawrence and obviously Tyrone Crawford, guys on the edge, guys who are getting quick at pressure. And obviously, you know, we're going to see a little bit more of Jalen Smith. He didn't really play too much, obviously, in the preseason, got some action, but Jalen Smith can be a very solid player. Obviously, when he's at Notre Dame, he suffered a lot of, you know, degenerative knee damage in his nerves within his knees, and that's painful. But he's back, and apparently he's healthy. I don't know if he's got full recovery, obviously, in the nerves of his knees, but he's a guy you got to watch out for as well. But like I said, the Denver Broncos defense has their hands full this week. Obviously, I predict that Aqib Talib will cover Dez Bryant. Terrence Williams will be covered by Chris Harris Jr. And maybe Cole Beasley will be covered by Bradley Roby. But the more I look at this matchup, I look at these wide receivers. They're going to go three wide receivers set and a tight end and a one back. They're going to go 21 personnel. And when I look at it, I think that Terrence Williams will match up with Chris Harris Jr. and on certain plays. I think maybe on third down plays. But then again, I look at the guy like Cole Beasley. He's a speedy slot wide receiver. And you got to wonder, okay, who's going to cover him the slot? Because Dak Prescott goes to him quite a bit on third down. Obviously, Jason Witten. Now, I could see Chris Harris Jr. covering Cole Beasley quite a bit. And then obviously, Bradley Roby covering Terrence Williams. I think this is my final prediction. And you guys can come back and tell me if I was wrong. But Aqib Talib on Dez Bryant. You have Bradley Roby on Terrence Williams, and you got Chris Harris Jr. on Cole Beasley and Ryan Switzer. I think that's going to be the matchup that we're going to see. I really do. And so the Denver Broncos defense has to keep contained this week. Obviously, defensive ends have to keep contained. I think that's a very important part. Shaq Barrett, Von Miller have to play the rush first. Obviously, they're not pass first players, but with a guy of Ezekiel Elliott's stature and a big offensive line, and primarily the Denver Broncos as of last year struggled with stopping the run. They did okay this week. Melvin Gordon only rushed for 54 yards. It kind of seemed like he rushed for a little more than that, but I do believe that Ezekiel Elliott is going to be a difference maker, you know, that the Denver Broncos have to shut down. I think the Denver Broncos ideally want to force Dak Prescott to throw the ball a little more than he has to, but like I said, outside contain is absolutely imperative against a team like this because Dak Prescott can run the ball. Now, your defensive tackles for the Broncos cannot get too far upfield because Dak Prescott will slide up underneath and take it and run. I do expect a lot of teams specifically to attack Todd Davis in pass coverage. Obviously, when they identify that the Denver Broncos are going up in man coverage, I expect wholeheartedly that they're going to look at Todd Davis and they're going to say, okay, we're going to get him on a one-on-one with our tailback and Ezekiel Elliott over Todd Davis Sr. I tell you what, that's not going to end well. We've seen Todd Davis's history against covering linebackers, and I think that Joe Woods should put Corey Nelson in right now, and honestly, passing situations against Ezekiel Elliott, because in my opinion, he is the best cover linebacker that the Denver Broncos have on the interior. Another difference maker, obviously, Brandon Marshall's got to be stout in the run game, and obviously, the Denver Broncos defensive backfield has to respond this week after giving up several broken and busted coverages, and that's obviously Bradley Roby. I think, you know, Darian Stewart will be okay. He was kind of hindered last week and in the final minutes of the Los Angeles game with a groin injury on that touchdown that was given up. That was a busted coverage by Bradley Roby, and I think that they just got to find a little bit more solidarity. That's where I said that TJ Ward's leadership that he's had on the Denver Broncos has been so important because he's always usually in position, has guys lined up right. And then you have Justin Simmons, who's a stud. He didn't miss a single tackle last last week against the Chargers or on Monday, but he's a little young, and I feel like teams are going to try to exploit him a little bit in pass coverage like they kind of did last year, obviously with Travis Kelce. So Jason Witten and obviously Justin Simmons is a matchup I need to look forward to, and obviously I'm very excited about it for this game. This is a huge game for the Denver Broncos, and it's so important that the Denver Broncos come out on fire. If they're on offense and need to establish the run game, get it going, and don't force Trevor Siemian to have to throw the ball more. I mean, if you have to force your quarterback to throw the ball more than 35 times a game, you're in trouble and you probably won't win a lot of games. Ideally, you want to have 20 to 28 total passes in the game. I do believe the offensive line needs to play much better. They cannot even play within a single shadow of resemblance of what they played on Monday night. While the offense looked better, the offensive line continued to struggle a little bit. Garrett Bowles is still a rookie. He had a pretty good game. He gave up one sack, but Matt Paradise, and obviously you got to hope Ron O'Leary can come back out. Obviously, he suffered a concussion on Monday against the Los Angeles Chargers, and he had to go through concussion protocol. So hopefully he'll be ready to go. If not, I expect to see Connor McGovern step in there at guard. Unfortunately, I don't think that's really a strong suit for him. But one move I'm looking forward to seeing, I think that the Denver Broncos will start guard Allen Barber this week. He's played in the division against the Dallas Cowboys multiple times in his career, obviously coming from Philadelphia. And now he looks a little more better. He looks a lot better than Max Garcia, unfortunately. So the offensive line has to play big. And obviously the Denver Broncos have to minimize turnovers. You cannot fumble the ball like Jamal Charles did, and you have to protect the quarterback. Can't give up sacks, and you can't throw picks against this team because they will capitalize on field position. So obviously, like any other football game that we talk about and we preach, ball security is job security, and you got to maintain that. So I look forward to seeing a little bit more of Isaiah McKenzie in the return game. I think with this game, the Denver Broncos defense got to come up big. Obviously, the offense can't, you know, put them in binds where they go long droughts without scoring. And I think that maybe in a game like this, you need to have a special team score, a kind of game-changing play that breaks the game open a little bit. And I think the Denver Broncos had the ability to do that. Obviously, special teams was much more improved last week in playoffs. He blocking a field goal. Cody Latimer on punt coverage was absolutely amazing. And Isaiah McKenzie in the return game is pretty solid as well. So those are my keys of the matchups for the Denver Broncos this week. Obviously, 2:25 p.m. kickoff over in Denver. You got Joe Buck and Troy Aikman on the call on Fox as well. And you can follow me on Twitter at CodyRourkeNFL and at Lockdown Broncos, where I hope to tweet. I'm going to try to go back and forth a little bit on both accounts and kind of open up tweeting. I got to open up on both sides because a lot of people engage on both sides and I got to answer both. So maybe on the iPad I'll have Lockdown Broncos, and maybe on the cell phone I'll have at CodyRourkeNFL. So be sure to follow me on Twitter at CodyRourkeNFL, at Lockdown Broncos. Engage, enjoy tweeting. And also, please, before you leave tonight and you go to bed, or before you get to work and you have to start your day and clock in, wherever you may be listening to us here on Lockdown Broncos, brought to you by the Lockdown Podcast Network, please head over to iTunes and leave a review for the show. And if you leave a review in iTunes on the show and you include your Twitter username, you automatically qualify to win a free membership of Pro Football Focus Edge, where you get access to the most analytical stats about every team in the NFL, as well as draft coverage and what can help you obviously in fantasy football as well going forward. Pro Football Focus, bringing you the latest edge of analytics and football. This is your host, Cody Rourke, saying good night and go Broncos.